You're listening to an extended interview from the Jazz FM Business Breakfast. A version of this was first broadcast on Friday, the 2nd of October, 2015. I'm Nick Howard. Now, do you think that you are a charismatic leader? Is it a good thing for a company to have charismatic bosses, or does it mean disaster? Well, Nikki Owen is an internationally award-winning charisma expert, and her new book, Charismatic to the Core, purports to answer those questions and many more. I sat down with Nikki to discuss the book. We may not agree on everything, but the interview was a lot of fun. I first asked her how the book had come about.
The reason I wrote the book was because when I was 18, I witnessed a very charismatic barrister who made legal history. And I was the defendant in the dock, and I was facing 12 to 14 years in Holloway Prison for deliberately setting fire to my parents' house. And the barrister used a defence, which was premenstrual syndrome. And as a result, I walked free. That incident defined my path into understanding more about charisma, because I witnessed one man's charisma transforming my own life against all odds. So that's really the traumatic event that set me on this journey.
It's an odd hypothetical to ask, but do you then think that if that barrister hadn't been as charismatic, that, well, you'd have ended up in Holloway Prison?
Well, I'm not sure, but in my mind at 18, that's what I perceived. So I saw a link between charisma and the ability to affect extraordinary results. So I became intrigued and really fascinated by the whole phenomena.
Can you just define for me your definition of charisma?
Yes, it's actually quite an abstract thing. And I did struggle with this, because if you try to teach charisma from a behavioural perspective and those behaviours are out of alignment with the essence of who you truly are, then you will come across as quite fake and not authentic. So my definition of charisma is that it's an authentic power that captivates the hearts and minds of others. So when you're being you, and you're loving what you do, you shine in your own natural, genuine way, even if you're introvert.
So presumably there isn't a template that people can say, I should do this, this and this to become charismatic.
No, and that's where I really differ from everybody else that talks about charisma. I don't believe you can teach it in that way. I believe that you have to work from the inside, because every individual has charisma. It's just that the walls that they've built up over the years have actually blocked them from being reconnected to it.
What about from a business perspective? I've seen a number of businesses in recent years move away from the charismatic leader, just because when that leader goes, the artificially inflated share price or the ideas of the company might become skewed and it can all come crashing down.
Well, this was really true with Justin King when he left Sainsbury's, because he wiped fortunes off of the share price. And how would Virgin fare without Richard Branson? So I completely get that there is a caution around really embracing this whole idea that people want charismatic leaders. Yet that's only because people see it, charisma, as being the birthright of a lucky few. We can all develop our natural charisma. And charismatic leaders outperform their non-charismatic peers by something like 68%, according to Harvard Business Review. So charismatic leaders are healthier, happier, more resilient. They're able to attract greater levels of engagement. So there are lots of reasons why it's very beneficial for an organisation to look at what they can do in terms of developing this natural, authentic energy of their leadership team.
I mean, let's dive into that. First of all, you have said that you can't teach charisma per se, but can people therefore learn it in some way, or should it be something that people should focus on?
I believe that charisma is there when there are five internal attributes that are very well developed. So a leader's sense of self-worth, their sensory awareness and emotional intelligence, their ability to have a really compelling vision, driving force, and their energy. So you can, when somebody walks into a room and you feel their energy, it's a very powerful thing. So I believe that by working with five internal attributes actually begins to help people let down their walls of resistance, and then you get a much more collaborative kind of vibe going on within the organisation.
But is there that risk that that would skew or artificially change what that business was about?
Not at all. I think that we can learn a lot from cellular biology, because at a cellular level, our cells can only operate in one of two mindsets, either in a mindset of an operating mechanism of survival or growth. So if we're very stressed, we release cortisol, and the little gates that around our cells close and actually shut down our ability to absorb nutrients for growth. And this is what happens to us at a human level. So if we're scared, if we're worried about changes, if we're concerned about redundancies, restructuring, new product acquisitions, then suddenly we create this kind of fear and we start operating from a survival mindset. So we build a wall of resistance around us that conventional leaders aren't able to penetrate.
So are you saying that charismatic leaders would change that?
Charismatic leaders enable employees to feel safe. And when people feel safe, they let down their barriers, they let down their walls, and they start to work in a state of flow.
What about if you're not a leader or a manager or a boss? I mean, can you be a charismatic employee? Is there a benefit to that?
Absolutely. I've done a lot of work looking at the link between charisma and happiness, charisma and health. So charismatic people are genuinely happier. They tend to have better quality relationships because they have better sensory awareness. So there's lots of advantages irrespective of whether you are a leader, a manager or an employee. It's about being the best you. It's about being totally true to who you really are inside without playing any games, without playing any roles. It's about being really authentic. And that might sound quite simplistic, but, you know, we've spent our whole lives kind of getting hurt or dealing with difficulties and challenges. So we put up these walls to try and protect us. So we've actually forgotten who we really are. And my job is not to teach people anything. It's just to help them reconnect with who they really are inside, so they simply shine in a way that's right and relevant for them.
And is that the purpose of the book?
Totally.
One thing that did strike me with the book is that the first half is to do with more conventional psychology, and then the second half does move towards more alternative methods. I mean, dowsing chakras, water crystals, which, I'll be completely honest, I am sceptical about. Businesses are often naturally cautious. Do you think that there's a potential audience there that the more controversial methods might put off?
I think it takes a brave organisation to employ me. That's first of all. I think the organisations that employ me are amazed at the results I get. So that's why they will give me repeat business. So all I normally ask for is the opportunity to work with either a small group of people as a pilot where we measure it on a number of key performance indicators. So it is different. And yet, if it's different, should it be dismissed?
And also, even if there was a placebo effect or anything like that, you know, if the team itself is reacting to it, then presumably that's positive.
Well, Nick, you mentioned the placebo effect. The placebo effect is actually factored in by pharmaceutical organisations, because if people take a tablet and they believe it's going to make them well, then it makes them well. So it's a very valid theory.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when I believe that I can transform those leaders, you know, in terms of their performance, their attitude, their mindset, their energy, you know, that's one of the reasons that I can get the result. The leaders themselves, the people working within that organization, have to also have the belief that they are only working at a fraction of their potential, and they really are capable of doing so much more than perhaps they'd originally thought.
So the book itself takes its name from the Big Apple experiment that you run.
Yes.
Can you explain that to me?
Yes, the Big Apple experiment is incredibly controversial. When I, you know, was released from prison in 1978, I was harbouring an awful lot of self-loathing. And it got to a point where I realised that my negativity directed towards myself was actually damaging myself, and I was actually sabotaging my own life at that point. I had to forgive myself and move on. And at that point, I realised that our focused intent has the power to affect physical reality. And I came across the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto, a Japanese scientist who had sadly passed away. He's devoted his whole life to the study of water. And effectively what he'll do, he'll take two glasses of water from the same source. He'll look at one glass and he'll send positive, loving thoughts. I know you're smiling at me and thinking this is a bit weird. And the other glass of water, he'll shout at, he'll be quite abusive at, he'll be very angry at. Then he would freeze the water so it became crystals, and using microscopic photography would photograph the water crystals with astonishing results. He found that those water crystals that were exposed to loving intentions were beautiful and symmetrical in contrast to those that weren't. So the thoughts that he possessed actually had the ability to affect the symmetry of a water crystal. Now we are 65-75% water, and I wanted to create an experiment that everybody could do so that they could demonstrate for themselves the power of their mind on physical reality. So that's why I created the Big Apple experiment. It contains about 65-70% water. So it's similar to an average adult. It's not a scientifically controlled experiment. It's more metaphorical to show people that they can impact on a half of an apple. And you take an apple, you chop it into two halves, you put half into a jar labelled love, half into a jar labelled hate. And for 2 weeks, without touching the apples, you say loving things and positive things, or you feel that love and compassion, you know, towards the apple. And then you take out your frustrations on the other apple. And within 2 weeks, you'll see that your hate apple, its rate of decay has accelerated. So it's a fantastic example of the power that our mind and our focused intent, our ability to vision, has on our physical reality.
I'm a skeptic.
Yeah, I know, it's great.
But I also haven't run the experiment. If that is the case, what does that actually prove? Because you talk about the power of intent, therefore, on ourselves. And I can understand that, you know, kind of being negative would have pressing to be negative all the time. But what does the Apple experiment prove about how we deal with ourselves?
Well, if you think about it, you can see people who are bitter and twisted or given up on their dreams or have lived a life that's unfulfilled or have never gotten over the bad stuff that's happened to them. You can see it in their physiology. It's almost beaten them. You know, their physiology just expresses the thoughts and feelings that they felt. And you can feel negativity. You know, you can walk into a room and you can feel the negativity of another person. So it's a bit like if you had a bowl of apples and you had one mouldy apple in the centre. By the time you got back home for tea time, that mouldy apple would affect the rest of the apples in the bowl. And, you know, one disengaged person can have a hugely damaging effect on other employees. So, you know, this negativity is an issue not just for the individual. It's an issue for anyone that's working in an environment with that negative individual.
Sure. Although, of course, mold is a living creature. It can move between the apples. But negativity is, you know, a more abstract concept.
Negativity is very, very infectious. Haven't you ever talked to somebody who's moaning about things and just felt that your own energy is starting to wither and drain? And that's one of the reasons that I use dowsing. You know, Albert Einstein describes dowsing as the simplest way of being able to access information from the unconscious mind into the conscious mind. And I find dowsing interesting because when people are being negative, it actually shrinks their energy, their electromagnetic field, their aura, if you like. I'm kind of thinking about how people listening to this will be responding when I use the word aura. We all have one, though. And when we feel healthy, happy, engaged, motivated, and really inspired, our energy, our auras, our electromagnetic fields expand, and other people at some level will feel it.
You mentioned the people listening to the interview. If people were to take one thing away from the interview, or indeed one thing from the book, what should it be?
That they have all the resources they need inside to create whatever results they want in any aspect of their life. They are more powerful than they can really conceive. And it all starts with the thought. So when you become more mindful of how you think and you start to consciously monitor your thoughts so that you can begin to shift your thinking towards more positive thoughts, it affects everything. The emotions, the energy, the behaviours, your performance, your health, everything. So that for me is the core message that I'd like people to take away from Charismatic to the Core.
That was Nikki Owen speaking to me for Jazz FM's Business Breakfast. You can hear the programme every weekday morning from 6 a.m. on Jazz FM.